Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Bart Baggett, president of handwritinguniversity.com. Thank you for joining us. How is everyone tonight?
Absolutely
great.
Terrific.
Great.
Oh, great.
Great.
Wonderful. Well, I have got an exciting program for you. I will do my best to keep this right under 60 minutes for obvious reasons. I respect your time. We have a lot of information to cover, and this is the first of 10 preview calls. And preview calls are calls that help you understand what we're going to do at the annual conference. But one thing that's important to me during the preview call is to give you lots of content, lots of new information, some things that you wouldn't get elsewhere. And tonight's class is exceptionally laden with information that's not in our books, or especially not in the basic courses. Now, if you're on a cell phone, that's fine. If you're on a cellular phone or a wireless phone, sometimes that causes a vibe or a background noise. If you are not talking, I encourage you to hit *6 right now, and that'll mute you out. And that way I don't have to mute everybody, and that way we can have interaction. There it is. Love that sound of all those beeping. If I do call your name and you want to answer, just hit *6 again, and that way you'll be able to answer. A couple of exciting things are going to happen during the call. First of all, I'm going to introduce our speaker, and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. And then throughout the call, I've got 3 door prizes I'm going to give away. Now, we had a little over 300 people register for the call. The bridge only holds 97, so either they may not show up or they may not be there.
Yeah.
So, there you go. See, people can talk. It's wonderful. So during the call, at about 20 after, about 30 after, and 40 after, I'm going to give away one of our home study courses, our Handwriting 101 home study course. Those of you that have it, you can give it to a friend. Maybe you could ask for a separate prize. A lot of you, if you're new, you don't have this course. It sells for $80 in hard format. It sells for $39 in digital, and it'll be a prize. So I've already, I'm going to pick the names at random of people who registered. So if you're on the call, please stick there, and you might win the door prize. Now, at the end of the call, something especially special is we're going to give a magic word, and this word is going to be one of 10 words that during the preview calls, we're going to give away 3 grand prizes, and those prizes are going to be, and Marianne just argued over me. She said, Bart, you do not have to give away a $1,300 home study course. I said, yes, but I want to. Marianne, you did fight with me, didn't you, on this one?
Yeah, yep. Always a fight. Always a struggle.
She thinks I'm entirely too generous. So if you are willing to listen to these 10 preview calls, which would be a lot of fun, a lot of free information, you will be one of a handful of people that are entered into that drawing to win our basic or our deluxe course or one of our other prizes there too. So stick around till minute 50. There's going to be that secret word. And at minute 55, I'm going to actually make an offer only to you people that are live on the call. And so if you're listening to this on tape, that part will be edited out, so you won't hear that. It'll just give you an incentive to come up and listen to the calls live next time we have a call, which will be on the 30th. I don't know if it'll be the same offer. So let me get started here. If you do have the PDF file, you can follow along. For those of you that don't have the PDF file yet, go check your email. If you need to look at it, I will do my best to describe exactly what we're looking at. I'm pretty good at this. I've been on 1,500 radio shows, and I've been able to describe pretty succinctly the strokes we're looking at. And so even if you don't have the PDF, I think you can follow along perfectly. And so let me get started with what we're going to talk about tonight. The name of this class is Traits Not Included in the Graphodeck, But Should Have Been. And if you don't even own the Graphodeck, it's okay. It's basically a sample of 51 basic traits, probably the most basic traits in handwriting analysis that you can learn from. And in today's class, we're going to discuss things that weren't in the deck. In fact, Marianne pulled some of these that are not even in the basic course. All right? So let me introduce you our guest speaker tonight. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For the next 10 minutes, I'm going to put everybody on mute. I hear a little bit of feedback there. So hold on one second.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Cool. So now we're in lecture mode. So Marianne, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. So I've muted out the rest of you just for a little while, and then I'll pull back on that. That way we don't hear any feedback. And so Marianne Redhead has not only worked with Handwriting University. If you've called to enroll in a course, you've probably talked to her. If you've been to a seminar, she is the one that has helped you get there. She does logistics. She handles all the processing. She is essentially vice president of everything important that happens at Handwriting University. That's a good title, isn't it, Marianne?
Yes, very important.
Vice president of everything important. I like it. I think you should get a plaque. I think you should get a label for your team. Maybe a T-shirt with that on it.
Yeah.
So, Marianne, you came up with this great idea about the Grasso Deck 2. Now, I'm going to let you tease them a little bit of what's coming up next year. But how did this class come to be? Because you have some things that you want to share that most students don't know. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, it's just that I've noticed in doing more and more studying after I graduated with your certificate that there are so many traits out there that just they show themselves, and we just couldn't cover it all in the basic course. And I know that every once in a while we'll ask you about one of them, and you say, well, I'm not too sure about that. Why don't you go check it out on some people? But there are definitely the ones that we're going to put in the Grapho Deck 2 that have been proven over and over, but they are a little bit more advanced, and those are the ones that we're going to present.
Absolutely. So what Marianne's going to present at the conference is about 30 to 40 new traits, which she considers advanced traits. Now, we're not talking about traits that are stacking. We'll cover that with different speakers. But individual, isolated strokes that, according to most handwriting experts in other books, pretty much always have the same meaning. And the Grapho Deck is probably been the most successful single product in the world regarding the handwriting because it makes the amateur seem like an expert. And Marianne and both will tell you, we don't think the Grapho Deck will make you an expert. Clearly, there's so many exceptions, and it gives people maybe even a false sense of expert status because, man, these traits are so right on. So, Marianne, you picked out 5 traits today, but it's just a preview of what you're going to give in a longer 1-hour seminar in Dallas. Is that correct?
That's right.
Now, one of the things I want to tell you, these are preview seminars. There is no secret. My agenda is very simple. I want to convince you to come to Dallas, Texas in June, spend 3 days with me and 10, in fact, we actually have 11. We have a bonus speaker, which we haven't announced yet, in Dallas. Have dinner with us, come to the seminars, and learn how to master your brain, handwriting analysis, and even a little bit of NLP. So there's no secret in my agenda. These are preview calls. We want you to come to Dallas. We want you to get a ticket, and it will absolutely change your life. And one of the speakers is Marianne. So, Marianne, let's start with the first trait. If you got it, pull up there. It's trait number one, and this is a trait I have seen a number of times. And then you put it on here and said, oh, my God, I've seen that, and I'll tell you where I saw it after you explain what you think it is, Marianne. First, let's describe what you see, Marianne. What does the trait look like? What is a stroke?
Well, in this case, it's the name Kim, common first name for usually a female. And if you notice, the I continues, it kind of goes back from where the K left off, and there was a pen lift at the baseline, and then the I continued on, and it forms an X on the baseline.
Yeah, if you've been to other courses, you'll hear people talk about X's at the baseline. X's at the baseline, which basically means not the letter X, like X, Y, Z, but for some reason, a downstroke of one letter and an upstroke of the other letter are sort of crossing. And it forms an X shape. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, when you see this X trait, it has an indication. What do you think it means, Marianne?
Well, my understanding is that it's actually appearing in writing more and more today simply because people are so busy between their family and running them all over the place and work and carpooling. And then, you know, maybe you go to church and they say, well, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to volunteer for this, and maybe you go to your school, and they say, well, it wouldn't hurt you to volunteer for this. So you turn around, and you're making dinner, and you're volunteering, and you're running your kids, but nobody, you know, puts a big star on your forehead and says, wow, you're really awesome, Mom, for taking us somewhere. Oh, you're really great for volunteering for this or that. And you run, and you run, and you run until you flat out feel empty. And it's just a lack of just appreciation. And I guess that X on the baseline would actually show the today, the current, right now, today.
And so what would George do? We'll leave the noun for last there, but if you're filling in the blank, she says appearing more and more in writing today, it is a feeling of being a what?
A victim.
A victim. That's the word we're looking for. So if you're writing there, it's a feeling of victim. Now, if I've been to hundreds of self-help seminars, and the victim status seems to be one of the biggest issues with lots of people, not just self-image, but with a belief system. And Marianne, you notice, I'm sure you know people that feel like they're victims rather than they're at cause for their life. Do you think that's a recipe for failure or a recipe for success?
Well, I guess it would depend on your own feelings about it, if you're going to take control of your life or if you're going to sit around and pity yourself. Or if you do have too much on your plate, then you need to handle it.
Now, the other two blanks you hear, it said blank or blank towards someone or something. What do you think those, what were those fill in the blanks there?
These two would be resentment or anger towards someone or something. But you do notice, especially in this graphic, that the classic resentment stroke isn't there, meaning an unbending upstroke into the eye. But the cross that it makes on the baseline would still signify the resentment and the anger that's there. And
cool.
As usual, that's something that would need to be dealt with, or you will see, or maybe already do see, to reinforce the X stroke that you're seeing, the resentment that would show up in the writing as well as the X's there.
Yes. Now, so number one, if you're looking to fill in the blank, and here's the challenge with a lot of traits, is especially with the grapho deck. You know, my biggest challenge with creating the grapho deck was not only creating taking a concept of a personality trait, which if you've read Freud or Jung, could take pages and pages to describe a personality type, and isolating it to only one word, but also to one little paragraph of three sentences. So you've chosen the word victimization to describe this stroke. Is that correct, Marianne?
Yeah, that's right.
Victimization. Now, let me share something I've seen about it. I have seen this in a number of criminal handwriting samples. Criminal handwriting samples. In fact, one of the terms I saw, I was 19 years old, and I was at this conference, this handwriting conference, and they saw this, and she said, one of these handwriting samples in your hand, this woman was a babysitter, and she smothered their kids like a pillow. She killed the kids. Which one of these is the murderer? And of all the handwriting samples, the one that had been murdered had this particular trait in it. Now, this is one of the problems with sometimes you'll read other books and courses is they'll take a criminal and they'll isolate a trait and say, now this makes them always bad. So do you think this victimization makes them always bad, Marianne, or do you think it's just one piece of a more complicated puzzle?
Yeah, it's one piece, and you would want to look at the other traits in the handwriting and see how well it balances. But, you know, the other thing, Bart, we need to be careful of is a lot of people are aware that X's are to do with wanting to do away with oneself or suicide, but I want everybody to know that those kind of X's are located below the baseline. So this one that we're looking at isn't quite that cruel.
Excellent. So X's tend to be a red flag a little bit. I might even think victimization is a red flag. Doesn't mean they're really dangerous, but definitely something that you want to watch out for. And then where it's located makes a big difference as well. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's kind of neat because if you do see it in someone else's handwriting, just like the need for attention stroke that you already have in the grapho deck, maybe that's the time when you tell somebody, wow, I can't believe all the stuff that you do. How do you juggle it all? You're really a great mom or a great person or a great leader or whatever, and maybe that will give them that little pat on the back that they kind of need.
That's magnificent. Okay, I'm going to take it off mute for a second. We're going to ask any questions about this, about 2 minutes worth of questions, and then we'll move on to the next trait.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Great. Anybody have any questions on number one? So we did a darn good job explaining that, didn't we, Marianne?
We sure did.
Not a bit of confusion on that.
Actually, good. I have a question.
Go ahead, sweetie.
Could the X be, like, does it have to be, like, in that, or could it be in different letters, like, or at the end of, like, an exclamation point?
Oh, wow, at the end of an exclamation point. Wow.
You mean like instead of the dot at exclamation
I've
point?
I've seen a lot of people put X's on the bottom of an exclamation point instead of a dot.
How about the dot on their eye? Have they done that as well?
Occasionally, but more, it's usually a dot, but I find it a lot in, like, exclamation points and things like that. Or when people write cursive and they do their X's like that, the stroke goes, like, all the way down.
Yeah, I think the stroke in an X that goes all the way down is a sign of determination. In fact, one of the presentations that Don Lehu will be giving and gave last year is the 17 traits of a pedophile. And one of the traits was a lot like this K here, where they had extra long downstrokes, which basically means determination. Like, if you want to isolate it, it means they start something and they really, really need to finish it, which in a success quality could be a really good trait. But clearly, if you're a pedophile and have these desires, it's a really negative trait. So I think it's a trait that accentuates any positive or negative. So I don't think in itself it's bad, but definitely the longer downstrokes could accentuate something positive or negative. Marion, do you have a clear answer for her? Because I would have to chime in with I don't know the answer to that one.
I don't know it either. I would have to look that up.
Good. Well, the good thing is we have 9 other people at the conference that are experts, so I'm sure one of them will have read something on that particular topic. One of the things you'll notice about the way I teach and Marianne is if we don't know the answer, we'll say, I don't know, we'll research it, which I really wish, because when I learned it, I had to sort of sift through who was BSing me and who wasn't, because a lot of teachers act like they know everything, and they're afraid to say, I don't know. I'm not afraid to say. I'll say, here's what I think, here's the background, I do know it or I don't. Good. Good question. Who asked that question, by the way?
Kristen.
Hello, Kristen. Good. I think it's pretty quiet, so we'll leave it on unmute and move on to the second one here. And after this next one, I'm going to give away a door prize, so let's go to the second one. This one's one of my favorite ones because this is something I did not put in our basic course. I didn't put it in the basic course. I did not put it in the certification course. And there's a reason why I didn't put it, and I'll tell you after I explain it. Go ahead, Marianne. Number two.
Yeah, this one, I hope you don't mind, Bart, we're going to spend just a minute or two on, because I think one of the reasons why you didn't put it in the course is because it's not totally simple. I'm kicking myself because I did not have the time to find a sample to show you the felon's claw in the lower zone. Those three images right there are more felon's claws in the middle zone.
Great, so let me stop you for a second. She said, so number two, the answer is you're filling it in, felon's claw, C-L-A-W. Go ahead, felon's claw.
Okay, do you want to do with this paragraph, or do you want me to do my little background information I have for everybody?
Let's go background first. You skipped over that really quickly. I wanted them to know that's exactly the answer.
Yes, that's the answer. Felon's claw, a felon. First of all, in the history, this is actually called directional pressure. If you look at the strokes, at least on these three images, they've actually been punched up from underneath. We were not taught to make letters that way. Something happened to these people, or they have a fear of it happening if it's punched from the right, or something did happen if it's punched from the left. But something happened that has created just bad circumstances for these people. And this actual trait of directional pressure was coined by a man named Felix Klein, who actually spent time in the concentration camps in Germany and found this trait among the survivors. They were severely damaged, but they were survivors.
Okay, hold on, Marianne. I'm going to mute somebody because somebody has a raid in the background. 1 second, we'll finish that. We're on Felix Klein. Hang on 1 second.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Great. That should remind people to hit star six if you're not talking. Okay, so Felix Klein found that the people that were survivors of the concentration camps, a lot of them had this trait. Is that correct, Marianne?
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Continue.
Now, all of us realize that when we were in second or third grade or whenever you learned how to do cursive, none of us were taught to make our letters this way. And so this is always a negative in nature type trait, okay? And what somebody did was they took what should have been a straight or a gently curved stroke, and they turned it into this quick direction in their letter, okay? If you do notice, and I'm sorry I didn't get all the graphics on there that I really wanted to, but this trait you're only going to find in the middle zone and the lower zone. And that's because this, hold on a second, I forgot my name. Lost my spot here. Oh, that's because this trait is only for acting out behavior, which would not include the upper zone. So you're only going to find it in the middle or the lower zones. Okay?
Now I have a question. The word felon's claw, is everybody, you see this, are they a felon?
Well, that's what I'm going to go into next. It depends on, first of all, if it's in the middle zone, okay, let me go over that first. If it's in the middle zone, this is a conscious guilt for behavior, for bad behavior, or about the image that the person projects. They don't accept themselves as they are, and they feel that they should they feel that they should be better. And so they self-castigate. In the original graphodeck, Bart shows the T-strokes that start at the right and go back to the left, and that's somebody who's beating themselves up about something. Well, somebody who has the Felon's Claw in the middle zone is doing the same thing. They're just constantly kicking themselves for what they feel like they should be, but just can't seem to get there. And I'll tell you, when I think about some of these super rich people like Donald Trump, I mean, if you're watching his show and you see that little spot where they have his signature, you sure don't see any Felon's Claws, but you do know probably of people who just make money and make money and make money, and you wonder, you know, when is it enough? And these are the kind of people who maybe just can't quite get what's missing in their life, and that's why you have all of these millionaires who are unhappy because they keep trying and trying to get what's missing, and they just can't seem to do it. So there's some sort of an unhappiness that they're trying to fulfill, and in the meantime, they just get richer and richer, but they're still not happy.
Good. Now, let me read the paragraph that you said here, if you guys are filling in those here, too. It says, sickle shape or claw, is what's in the quotes, in the lower zone. The more the claw extends upward, the more dangerous the rider. Dangerous is, you fill in the blank there. These people may appear nice, but then backstab for no apparent reason. Backstab is what you fill in the blank there. Their background of inferior feelings cause them to prove to themselves that they are inadequate by causing others to prove them right. And that is done by, underline, mistreating someone and making them dislike you. So the blanks are in order. Claw, dangerous. Backstab, inadequate. And mistreating. Very well done paragraph, Marianne. You explained that quite well.
And see, and this is interesting because it can be something as small as always making people wait on you. You say you're going to be there at 3 o'clock. Well, you show up at 10 after, and you kind of make somebody cranky at you. And it's just little irritable things that you do to people that make them mad at you, and you say to yourself, if you're the one with the Felon's Claw, you say, well, I deserve that anyway. So, you know, she just as well be mad at me because I deserve it anyway. And those are just little things, and that would be more of a smaller Felon's Claw. Now, if the Felon's Claw goes up higher and starts reaching toward the middle zone, that's when it starts to get a little bit dangerous. And that's when people are actually influenced to go back to get something that they think that they missed or forgotten in their earlier years, or they feel like they deserved something that they didn't get. And so I'm going to go back there and get it, darn it. And that's when it starts to turn into a Felon's Claw, where they might be, you know, willing to break the law or do something illicit in order to obtain what it is that they think they deserve. And then that's where you do a little bit of trait stacking, and you would have to go back and say, well, you know, are there signs of greed there? Because if they're greedy and they feel like they deserve something, then they're going to do whatever it takes to go back and get it, and that's why you're finding a lot of these in prison-type situations.
That's a great comment, and let me do mention, she said something called trait stacking, and this is really what separates an amateur and an expert, and it's taking these individual traits, taking the Grapho deck cards, taking the other 70 or 80 basic traits, and then stacking them together to ask yourself, well, if he's got a Felon's Claw, but then he's got Honest O's, but he's got, you know, a desire to acquire, does that make him a thief? And these are the kind of questions that we're going to propose at the conference, and we're going to answer, because that's what separates an amateur professional, is how you can balance out these sometimes conflicting traits to come up with a very accurate predictor of behavior. So, Marianne, I guess you'd answer my question, and then I'll answer it in my opinion. Do you think if you see a Felon's Claw, that's always a big negative, and does that make that person a felon?
No, there's going to be various degrees of negativity. It's certainly a red flag where you're going to want to stop and look in the rest of their writing for other signs that, you know, prove or disprove or show the intensity of the trait. But it's not going to be a trait that you're going to want in your partner. Or if it is there, you sure want to understand why it's there and decide if you want to continue pursuing that relationship or not.
Got it.
That would be business or whatever.
Good. Here's one more thing on this, and we'll move on. When I first saw this trait, and I read a lot of books before we started writing my first books, and I did not include it in our basic course, and here's why. The basic course, especially our basic, like the Grapho deck and the basic level 1, level 2, I wanted to give people tools that were always right, 100% of the time, that would give them confidence to say, wow, hammering analysis is really scientific, it always works. When I read the books that saw Felon's Claw, and this is probably the downfall of most of the books that you'll find in the bookstore, is they'll take a known felon, they'll find an example of the claw, and they'll say, see, look, it's in this felon's handwriting, this is a bad person. Where in reality is, it didn't mean that they're a felon, it meant what you're talking about, a dangerous, sort of resentful person from the past, and if you stack all of it together, it's resentful. So the bottom line is, it's not a felon trait. It doesn't mean the person's a felon. It doesn't mean the person's convicted. It doesn't mean the person's evil. It is one negative trait among a possible four or five or six traits that would make someone a criminal. And so I thought it was misleading. I thought it was a bad name. The other thing is, a lot of people confuse a felon's claw with what I call a stinger. And if you've got the Grapple deck, that's called issues with the opposite gender. Again, I rename traits to make them as clear and concise, as accurate as possible. And then one quick story. I was giving a certification test a couple days ago to this woman who had started out with Gestalt books. So she learned a lot, but she said she was always like 80%. She never could figure out why 20% was wrong. And there were some things that were in direct conflict with what we taught. And she finally admitted, she goes, you know what? She goes, the traits you teach are just so accurate, and it really filled in the blank. So if you started with Gestalt books or some other books, put those aside, learn the basic traits, then pick those books back up, because you'll understand the big picture a whole lot easier. Okay, I'm going to pull people off mute for just 1 second, and we're going to give away a prize. That's like you get.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
All right. So, anybody on the phone here have a felon?
Who has a felon?
Anybody got a felon's claw in their handwriting?
Yeah, I show signs of that. I'm Ruthie.
Hey, Ruthie, have you stolen anything or been in prison lately?
Oh, all the time. No.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, this is Dana from California. You met me a while back. But anyway, in the L that I have, is that felon's claw only because you go straight down into the left? Or if it's in a capital L and to the right, is that also considered a felon's claw?
Definitely to the left only, and to the right, I don't think it's that way. Am I correct, Marianne? Is that what your definition of it is?
I was just starting to learn more about that. It has some connotation of it, but it means something different because it's facing the other direction. It's not going back, it's going forward.
Yeah, going to the left goes to the past, and that's where you have issues unresolved. Going to the right is to the future.
Right.
Could I ask you to repeat that, because I missed the first, I just came in because I just came from a trip. I missed where you said sickle shape or something in the lower zone. I missed the blanks that we filled in there.
The claw. Don't worry, we will have it on tape, and I'll give you
okay.
The five words. Are you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Claw is the first one.
Okay.
The next sentence is dangerous.
Yes.
Backstab. Inadequate.
Okay.
And mistreating is fill in the blanks.
Okay.
And glad you could make it, Ruthie.
Thank you so much.
Here I'm going to give away a prize here. Now, again, we have a lot of people enrolled, so if you're on the phone, unmute yourself right now so you can call on if I call your name. *6 is what you need to unmute yourself. I'm about to call out some names, and if you're on it, you win the prize. If you're not, you miss it. So here goes. Her name is Janine. She is at yahoo.com, and her last name might be Tigger. Is Janine on the line with us? I give her 3 seconds. Is she there? See, if you don't put your last name, how do we know who it is?
Oh, it might be Gayleen.
Oh, it might be you, Janine?
It's spelled G-A-Y-L-E-E-N.
No, it's not. And this is an address with D-A-T.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Maybe we'll get to you next. Okay, Janine missed it. The next one on the list of circled, her name is Charmaine Humphrey from Canada. Are you on, Charmaine? See, you guys have to be on to win. We're going to keep going. How about Yusaka Uchimura? Now, if that's not a Japanese name, I don't know what is. All right. How about Fritz Laus from Canada? See, these people should have shown up. Joanne Bainey. Scott Cranford. These people sign up, and see, we're just going to keep going until we give away all these prizes. Susan Gowana. Oh, she's from Hungary. I doubt she's on the phone. That's a long-distance phone call, don't you think?
Very.
Oh, here we go. Sue Dana.
You ain't doing too good, Bart.
You know what? They're the ones who are missing out. We're trying to give away free stuff.
Let's keep going.
Betty Knight. Don Hegan. Sue Skipper. And finally, Christy Taylor. All right, we're wait. No one gets a prize this break. We'll wait another 10 minutes and give away some more stuff. Again, you got to be here to win these things.
Did you
and
call?
That's okay.
All right. Did you call
yes,
any names earlier?
No, I did not.
Okay, good.
Don't worry about it. Ruthie, you already have everything. What can we possibly give you, Ruthie?
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Okay. Yes. Did anybody's name I called end up later?
No.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the next trait here. All right. I want to remind you that, yes, ma'am?
If I were to go hang up, would I be able to get back on? Because I don't have that PDF file.
Yes, you should be able to get back on now, assuming someone doesn't jump in and take your spot.
So we're like on number 89?
You know what? I don't know how many people are on the call, so I honestly don't know. In my opinion, if they would have jumped in, they would have jumped on at 5 after the call. So I think you'll be able to get back on.
Okay. Mark, excuse me,
yes.
I want to jump in here because that file is very large, and if this person is on a dial-up, it may take quite a while to download.
Oh, okay, I'll just stay on. That's okay. I'll be able to read this afterwards, right?
Yes, you will, absolutely.
Okay, that's okay. I'll just stay on.
Good. And again, I don't have to go on the call. So let me remind you a couple things. At the 50 mark, we'll be giving away our secret word, which can get you $1,300 worth of our home study course. And then at the 50 mark, I'm also going to give a particular offer about coming to Dallas that you won't get if you listen to this on tape. So do hang on through the entire phone call for those two things. And we will go away with some more prizes because we're going to give away 3 of our basic kits today to somebody. So if they're not on the course, then we'll just give them all away at the 50 mark, all right? Okay, now the next one is pretty interesting. It seems like Marianne only picked negative traits. So, Marianne, hold on while I mute everybody, and we'll come back and talk about number 3 and number 4.
The conference is in lecture mode.
All right, Marianne.
I didn't mean to just be negative. It just turned out that way.
You didn't mean to pick all the dishonest and criminal traits, but, you know.
Well, they're worthwhile traits, don't you think?
I think they're fantastic traits. I guess in the Grasso deck, if you're at the restaurant and your waitress has a felon, flaw, victim, and embezzlement, it's not something you want to say. You may not get free dessert.
Well, it just tests your diplomacy.
And by the way, these are all in what Marianne is working on called the Grasso Deck 2, which won't be until 2007, but those of you at the conference will actually get all those traits as part of the manual. We'll be going through all those different traits, which will be in the Advanced Grasso Deck. So another reason that you might want to schedule your reservations right now to be in Dallas in June. So number 3, let me describe the shape here, Marianne. You can describe what it is. You have respectfully yours, Jeff Dahmer. Now, if I'm not correct, Jeff Dahmer was that famous vegetarian, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Marianne's being sarcastic right now. Who was Jeff Dahmer?
Well, he was actually a fine cheese-headed meat eater, is what he was.
He was from Wisconsin. He used to kidnap young boys and eat them and keep their bones in the refrigerator. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now that doesn't mean when you see this trait you have a cannibal.
No.
But that is a good example. You picked a fine example of why this might not be a wonderful trait. In his last name, Dahmer, and in the A, it almost looks like an upside-down O, which means that the A has an oval shape, and someone took some scissors and cut the bottom of the O. So if it was filled with water, it would have a hole right in the bottom of the O or the A. It would drip right out. So that's the visual you're looking for. There's an unexplained empty spot or a pin lift at the bottom of the A or O. So, Marianne, what does that mean if you see this unexplained pin list at the bottom?
Well, it's actually called at the top there, it's embezzle, is the first line, the first word. It's an embezzler's oval is what it's called. And let me tell you this, they're not always really easy to see. This is the time that you want to get out your magnifying glass, especially if you're doing some employment screening, or if you're a document examiner, somebody who's really, really, it's really important that you get the information. You want to get out a magnifying glass and really look, because sometimes these pen lifts are very subtle, remembering that they're a neurological pen lift. And it's just amazing how they show up at the bottom of the oval, just like if you put water in it, it would drip right out.
And is this always a bad trait? It sure seems to be.
I can't see where it would be a good trait. It's very important because it's located in your communicative letters.
Communication letters means A's, O's, middle tone, talks about today and the moment. The O's reveal honesty. Of course, if you're familiar with the grappler deck and their basic traits, the double loops are maybe lying. Single loop on the right would be secretive. Loop on the left, self-deceit. And here's an example where there's an unexplained emptiness in the bottom and it's embezzlement. Or the second blank, Marianne, what is that second blank?
Will you go ahead and read that, Bart? I don't have that. I'm sorry.
It is embezzlement or dishonest.
Oh, yeah.
D for dishonest.
Go ahead and read that paragraph, though, will you?
Like a cork pulled from a piggy bank, this joke signifies someone who shouldn't be handling assets, i.e. handling money, handling assets, or who communicates in such a way, such a deceptive way, that nothing they say is believable. So highly deceptive. And it's interesting, you wouldn't see lying loops here because this trait is so severe that they would be deceptive. Now, have you ever seen this trait in person, Marianne?
No, I haven't. I've only studied about it.
I have seen it in one person, and I won't say his name, but I knew him in college, and he was a very interesting guy. Really, how would I describe him? You know, like swarmy, like an agent, like, hey, I can make you rich. Come here, sign with me, baby, la, la, la. He sort of had that swarm factor at him years ago, even in Pepperdine, and he always had this strange O, an upside-down O. And I thought, well, this is strange. It sort of looks like this trait. And he was really one of the sleaziest guys. Like, he had three or four girlfriends, and he lied to them all. And he was just really weird. And I ran into him in Hollywood at the gym, like maybe 2 years ago. And he ended up being an agent, as a matter of fact. And
I thought, well, not in prison, huh?
No, I think he's too smart to be in prison. But I definitely
probably nobody's discovered him yet.
I definitely would not trust him as far as I could throw him. Okay, let's move on to number four, and then with number four, hold your questions on number five, and then we've got like some more prizes. We got this other trait, and so we want to move on because we do want to respect everybody. We've got about 20 minutes left in the call. I want to make sure everybody gets finished. So number four, this, you've got two words there. First word starts with A. Last word starts with T. What's the answer to number four, Marianne?
These are anger ticks.
Anger ticks, and not the kind of ticks that you pick off your dog.
No.
These are the ones that make you boil and get frustrated inside, as in anger. Now, if you do not have the handout in front of you, Marianne, how would you describe these anger ticks for someone that doesn't have the handout in front of you?
These are easily, it amazes me how many times when you're looking at handwriting, you want to say, well, isn't that just there by accident? I mean, how do you expect somebody to make a perfect retraced A's if you're talking about stingers? Or how do you expect to not lay your pen down accidentally when you're forming a letter, which is what this is. These are teeny V's, very tight, bitty, angular V's, usually at the beginning of a word, but can also be found at the end. And sometimes, especially in the sample you're looking, and this is a little bit small, but you want to really look closely and notice these bitty ticks. And what they are is anger, irritation, or frustration underlying in that person. More than likely, it's always there, or if you don't see it all over the handwriting sample and maybe only see it in one word or one particular paragraph, then they probably had anger or frustration about the subject that they were talking about where the words had the anger ticks.
Got it. Now, what we learned in the advanced courses is that there's certain shapes have symbolism, and if you study in the Gestalt, the symbolism is, A, very confusing, but does have general theories. The roundness would be more gentle, the squareness with security, and the V-shapes, or the ticks, or the little angles, usually indicate some sort of irritation. Just like in the capital I or the lowercase I, in the lowercase I, if you have ticks, rather than clear, clean eye dots, the person's annoyed or angry. So you're seeing this sort of annoyance, but you're seeing it at the baseline, and you've got anger. And, of course, with anger comes resentment, comes temper, comes a whole slew of negative traits. I've never seen too many people that were unpleasant to be around without anger being one of the underlying emotions. Obviously, depression can be annoying, but anger itself is the one that I think puts us all over the edge and which causes violence. And I think anger would be one of the precursors of almost all violent actions. Wouldn't you think there, Marianne?
I would think, but remembering what you always say, Bart, is you want to have compassion for, you know, some of these traits. If you have somebody that has anger in their handwriting, you have to wonder how, you know, why are they that way? And, yeah, maybe you don't want them to be your partner or your business partner, but you want to have some compassion, and because obviously something happened in their life to give them this irritation and frustration, and that's sad. And especially if they're dealing with it every day.
Or somebody's in their life causing them anger and frustration, or, you know, like their mother or their sister or their brother or husband or maybe their boss, and that could be a state. So you could see that and say, okay, now how can I help you? One of the things that I've learned, I know you have too, is using hypnosis, NLP, and some of these therapies. You can see these traits that would be negative, but you can also go, hey, wow, you're angry. Let's go back and find out the cause, because almost every anger has a root cause, and it's rarely what's going on now. If you're angry at your dog, it's usually not your dog today. It may be because when you're 5 years old, you're angry at your dad, and that's when you go back into the past, you use timeline therapy, use hypnosis, you use other forms of healing tools to really change your life. So that's pretty cool. You can see it in the handwriting. What's even cooler is when you have the tools to actually help people. Marianne, you're so great. See, Marianne's the compassionate one. I'm here telling you to run away from them because they're killers. Marianne says, love them. Love them. They're beautiful people. Okay, I'm going to read this sentence here. Because then people off hold for a second. I'm going to read this paragraph to be able to, so you can fill in the blanks.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
All right, here is the paragraph. Fight unnecessary ticks. Okay, if you you've got some noise behind you, go ahead and hit star six, or I gotta mute everybody out again. Star six. Whoever's watching TV, hit star six. I know American Idol's on and we're a tough competition.
The conference is in lecture mode.
All right, they just didn't pay attention, so I had to mute everybody out. Bad, bad person. Okay. Someday we'll have the technology to, like, call them by name and say, John in Ohio, American Idol's on. You better turn it off. But right now we don't. Okay, tight, unnecessary ticks on the beginning of a stroke. Strokes are connected, forming a V or a sharp angle. This signifies what? This signifies anger, irritation, or frustration. They become easily angered, but will only display it depending on the slant and intensity. Now, that reveals to stacking. So, Marianne, let me ask you, if you have an E-plus slant and you've got anger ticks, will they be more likely to show their anger or less likely?
They're going to show it quickly and swiftly.
Absolutely. And if you're an A-B writer, a straight up and down writer, that will probably mean what?
You're just going to hold it in and add to your resentment strokes in your handwriting.
So you may never see it. If you're analyzing their handwriting, you may never see it. They may not acknowledge it, but you know it's there. And that trait stacking is really the key to becoming a great analyst and be able to stack those trait by trait and then decide how behavior is going to show up. Okay, I'm going to take it off mute. We have one more trait and then a couple of cool stuff. So I'm going to give away some prizes. If you do have your phone on mute, take it off because I'm going to start calling some names. I'm going to zip through them. First one that says they're here gets the prizes, and we're going to give away three prizes right now.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
So if you're listening to a TV right now, let you know that we can hear it. It'd be appreciated if you turn it off. Teresa Degenhart, are you on us? Are you with us? Laura Marie, are you with us? Mary Imbier, are you with us? April Johnson from Charles Darwin University. Now, again, if you're listening to this via tape, you did not win. You got to be present to win here. How about Neethal Ravi, Tammy Spickler? Look at these people. They're just not here. You know, they sign up and they think they listen to the tape is great, but they forget they're going to miss out on the prizes. Okay, two more. How about Tommy Hahn, Nina Harris, Kim Saunders, Teresa Ether, Susan O'Donohue? All right. Nobody gets free prizes. Does anybody on the phone want one of those home study courses?
I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
See, look, they all want them, but where are they? Who was the first one that yelled out? I heard a girl's voice.
I did.
What's your name?
Christine King.
Christine King, you are a winner.
Ah, yay.
I'm going to have to, well, Marianne, we're looking for your handwriting 101 course. And don't worry, we're giving away some more prizes, too. How about Tanya Bowman? How about Bob? Are you on the phone?
I'm here.
Bob, you already own everything.
I know.
How about Bob McAllister? All right, we got to give away two more. We will find a way to do that. Pam Hendricks, Joyce Norville, Keith Forder, any of you guys? All right, then. Okay, we got five more minutes for one more. Here we're going to give away another prize. And don't forget, we're going to give a secret word, and I'm going to make you guys an offer and a reason to come to the conference that you will not hear on tape and will not be available to us people. So, Christine, good job. Glad you showed up.
Thank you.
And here I am, Saint-Pierre. And for the rest of you, I wish there was a way we could only call names of people who are on the call, but that's really tough since we get a list, of course, before that. Okay, I'm going to try to give away one more. Patsy Wilson. Michael Hurst.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Michael Hurst.
Yeah, long time no see. We're here, I guess.
Now, do you already own the Handwriting 101 course, Michael?
Long time ago. That was part of the home study course, right?
I think this one is probably new for you because this is one was released last year.
Oh, okay. There you go. I guess it's new then. Okay.
Good. Okay, we have one more to give away. Michael's the winner there. Good job.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm going to do. We're going to spend about 4 minutes on this last trait. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to give away the ultimate prize and something really special. Hang on 1 second, everybody.
The conference is in lecture mode.
All right, everybody, hang on. Marianne, we have one more trait here of the traits that should have been in the graphic deck that aren't. And the last one starts with an R, and it is shaped like an M. It's sort of like an accordion. It's compressed opposed to repressed. And what does that trait mean, Marianne?
It means repression.
It means repression. Which, let me read it to you, frequent upward retracing of downstrokes, these are painful thoughts or memories that the writer forces into the subconscious. So fill in the blank, painful. Now, have you seen this trait a lot, or how do you describe repression, Marianne?
Yeah, I think I've seen it a lot, and I would think it's fair to say that a lot of people have had something in their past that they've just pushed down and stuffed down and don't want to deal with and don't want to talk about or haven't had the opportunity and really need to in order to move forward and be healthier and happier.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a secret, interesting story about this. If you have, there used to be a school called IGS, which is International Graphical Analysis something. They went bankrupt a few years ago. Their textbooks are very old, like written in the 60s. This was one of their basic traits, repression. And I think it's fairly common, and people do end up sitting on emotions and harboring their feelings. You'll also see somebody with an AB rider or straight up and down rider with repression being even more emotionally withdrawn, even being more hard to get to emotional. I chose not to use it in the basic course for a number of reasons, but now it's going to be in the advanced course, and it's definitely one of the traits that we're going to review. I think it's extremely important because if you see repression, you know the people are not as in touch with their feelings. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about repression, Marianne, as far as how it's described or the definition of it?
Well, you know what? It's amazing because if you encounter somebody who has a lot of repression, it's not just the M's and the N's, but all of the writing is written very close together, and probably the words are spaced very closely, and all of their writing is just squished as if they're just stuffed into a box or some small area. And their whole life is repressed and stuffed down, and boy, they can't just be jumping for joy, that's for sure.
And they can't. It also reminds me of sort of how even from a gestalt perspective, how if the all handwriting is kind of is in the middle of the page, if there's no margin, if it's really squashed, the people have issues with having freedom, with having the flexibility to just get up and go. You'll see people with no margins, with no spacing, and they're just so much more fun at parties, as I always say. One of the great things is, although margins aren't covered a lot in the basic course, at the seminar, Don Lehu, who will be our speaker next week, which is the 30th, 2 weeks from now, he'll be our guest speaker on the preview call. He'll be discussing margins and spacing at the conference. If those of you started with some Gestalt books, you might be familiar with some of these concepts, but I tell you what, it's a whole different ball game if you master the basic traits first, then you move into the margins, because it sort of clarifies all these personality types that move forward and backwards in given context. Okay? Good job, Marianne. I'm gonna unmute people. We're gonna give away some more prizes. and we're going to say the magic word, and I'm going to tell you something really special, so hold on 1 second.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay.
Yep. That lady sounds the same every time she talks, as if she's a computer or something. Okay, so first of all, I want everyone to write down this word. If you can attend the preview calls, even if you cannot attend the preview calls, you can listen to them via recording. And we're going to give 10 words, 10 magic words. If you know all 10 of these words and you email them in on the form we'll give you on the last call, you will be qualified to win one of 3 prizes. Those would be the home study course, which is now about $600 or $700. The level 4, which is deluxe home study course, which sells for $12.99 online, $1,300. And the third prize, Marianne, I think is something of equivalent value. It's at least worth, I think it's a level 2, which is about $400 worth. So all great prizes, and all you have to do is listen to the last 10 minutes of each call and get the secret word. So write this down and keep this notation in a safe place. The secret word for this week is generosity. Generosity. And there's 10 more words to do that. Now, by the way, we're not giving away tickets to Dallas for free. So if you're waiting around hoping you'll win tickets to Dallas, that's not going to happen. What we want you to do is get as much information as you can, because the tone and the feel of the Dallas conference is advanced. It doesn't mean that you need to be certified. There'll be plenty of people there that aren't certified, but we would be great for you if you've already had some a basic knowledge or have the basic course, so to speak. Anybody questions about the special word or anything else like that? Good. Okay, so just listen and we'll tell you what to do with that word as we go on. I have one more free course I want to give away, the basic 101 course. I'm going to list the name until you say you're here, and then stay tuned because I have an ultimate one-time offer you're going to love. Is Robert Urati here? Mike Moschella? Barry Lebo?
Yep, I'm here.
Mike!
Hey!
God bless you. You just won a copy of the Handwriting Analysis 101.
Awesome.
It's a digital course. It's at handwritinguniversity.com. You'll see right in the middle of the page, it says click here for download. We will be emailing you passcodes for that. You'll be watching us on video within half hour. How about that?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for attending. Okay, now guys, listen up. I want you to come to Dallas. So does Marianne. Here's the offer that we're going to edit out of the recording. So if you hung along long enough, here's what you get. So those of you that are listening to this on tape, it's now going to be blank. You're not going to hear it. So hang on for the live. Okay, cool. So here it is. Hi, this is Bart, and thank you for listening to this replay of a live broadcast. This section of the special offer has been deleted from the replay call. We do want to encourage you to attend the live seminars and the live teleconferences, because during those calls, we do actually give one-time only offers that are only for people live on the call. So we do appreciate you calling. Thank you very much and listening to this replay broadcast. And we apologize because the offer that was on the call is only for live participants. So catch us on the next one. Check out our page, handwritinguniversity.com/preview. Sign up for the next live call, and then you can also take advantage of the one-time offer that is available for the live participants. We have many, many more preview calls, and we encourage you to listen to all of them. Good. Now, again, that's basically a free bonus for you guys. And here's why I'm doing that. A, I want to give you a great incentive to make a decision now. By the way, you have at least 7-8 days. If you decide you can't do it, or you're playing, or your wife didn't do it, or you can't make plane reservations, don't worry about it. Everybody's got a refund opportunity. But I do want to sell this down as soon as possible. The preview seminars will have 9 more of them, and we will give away some different kind of bonus, but I guarantee you this is the best bonus you can come up with, and it's a $5 bonus. Anybody have any questions about a bonus, about the classes, or about our conference coming up in Dallas in June?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a place to register for all 10 previews?
There will be a page to register all 10 previews. However, here is the page to look at. It's handwritinguniversity.com/preview.
Oh,
and sometime after today, today's conference will be gone. Next week's conference will be up there. We will have a page with all of them and the dates listed, but they'll always be from that page.
Okay.
So yes, it would be great if you could register all at one time. Our intention was to have all the dates, because we do have all the dates now, but some of the professors haven't confirmed, so we didn't want to put them all up yet. Because we literally have 10 people, including Dan Marzulak and Bob Beyer and all these great professors. We want to confirm them before we put a date on them.
Thank you.
So handwritinguniversity.com/preview. to get all 10 of them. And again, we will be offering different specials during the calls, but I, again, once these 38 DVDs are gone, we'll be have to find some other offer.
Hello, Bart?
Yes, sir.
Let me just make a little correction on that. We will have a page that announces all 10, but people will need to register every single time for each one, because each time we'll have different special offers and different bonuses and different things that people will be getting associated with each call. So we're going to need to know, they're going to need to know what those things are, and they're going to need to register for that reason. So each week that the preview information will be up at the same page, but it will be for the following call. So that's
how
you'll always find it, for the following call.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, because, for example, Don, he talks about criminal handwriting. He did a DVD on the criminal profiles of pedophiles. And the only way you can get that is when you register, we'll show you the link for that. So, yeah, he's correct. It'll be all up on the same page, but you will have to register every time.
Bart, can I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
Okay. About the web page that I'm looking at where it shows the strokes that were covered tonight.
Yes.
There's one more that wasn't covered, and I tuned in just so I could hear about that one, because I know a man that's got that stroke, and it's handwriting.
Well, we have 1 minute left. Tell me what that is, and see if we've overstepped it, or we can stay a minute. So tell me briefly what was the promise.
Okay, well, it's on the page. Well, first there was the Fallon's Claw on my page, then it showed Kim, with the X in the word Kim.
Yeah.
Then there was the M that was retraced, and then right after that on my web page is this another one that was not covered. It's like a down. It's like it's in the lower zone, like it's the bottom of a G or a Y, and it's like a stroke down. Then it loops and goes back to the left, and then it does a little loop and then comes back to the right.
Are you looking at the PDF file, or are you looking at the web page?
It's the web page where I signed up.
Got it. That was clipped out from the demonstrations on the page, meaning that the graphics are exactly from the graphics. So I'll tell you what, just to make this easy, because we're wrapping up, email me that, and I'll look at it, and we'll make sure that you get that answered if it indeed was an extra trait. And we'll start off next week that, or I'll even put it in the newsletter next week if indeed we did miss one for you.
Okay.
Great. And that email address, if you have any questions about it, it's admin@myhandwriting.com. admin@myhandwriting.com.
Oh.
And that goes right to Marianne. We'll research it and make sure you get that your question answered. It may just be another letter that was in a paragraph, but we'll research it and we'll find out what it means, if indeed it means anything at all.
Okay.
Good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for visiting us. We will talk to you again in 2 weeks at the preview seminar. And those of you that go ahead and get signed up for the Dallas seminar, I am looking forward to meeting you in person with Marianne and our 10 other professors in June in Dallas, Texas. And again, that's myhandwriting.com/seminars, and you can get enrolled right away.
Thank you for this information, Bart and Marianne. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ruthie,
for coming.
And all good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Bye.
I'll look up to you tomorrow.